Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So if you've ever been scolded for using your favorite nonstick pan, you're probably aware that Teflon has been linked to severe health problems for over a decade. C8, the chemical that makes Teflon dangerous, is found in everything from eyeglasses to food wrappers. This September, the first of more than 4,000 lawsuits filed on behalf of workers who say they were harmed by C8 exposure is coming to trial. While fragments of the DuPont C8 story have been reported over the years, a six-month-long investigation by Sharon Lerner for The Intercept, in partnership with the Nation Institute's Investigative Fund, adds damning and startling information to suspicions that DuPont knew for years and attempted to cover up the dangers of C8. So with us today, we have the reporter herself, Sharon Lerner. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Hi.
Teflon was introduced in 1946 by way of history and helped transform the E.I. DuPont de Nemours Company from a 19th century gunpowder mill into, quote, one of the most successful and sustained industrial enterprises in the world, as you portray it. And for more than 60 years, C8 was an essential ingredient of Teflon. How prevalent is Teflon or C8 in our lives today?
Yeah, so the issue, it's funny because Teflon is how we know this chemical and what it's most famous for, but that is not our biggest source of contamination. There is some debate. I think there are trace amounts in Teflon pans. I threw out my Teflon pans, you know, but I think I know from reading a lot about this that while it's in some consumer products, and we think consumer products is why we have this chemical in our blood, it's not the major source. The main source we think is...
And by the way, we have it in our blood,
yeah,
according to
your
article,
back up,
right?
Perhaps, right?
99.7% of Americans, according to data from 2007 from the Centers for Disease Control, basically 100% of us have what? Some C8 in our blood?
Yeah. And it's a man-made chemical. So this didn't exist a century ago. And we know where it came from. It came from 3M produced it for most of those years. DuPont and several other companies used it. And they used it in thousands of products. You mentioned a few. And probably that's where we're getting it, from the products themselves. But also, it is in drinking water. And we think the source is from the manufacturers and users. And that's where these lawsuits you mentioned are coming from.
Is there epidemiology on who's getting sick? If anybody from C8, is it, you know, families in Indiana who made sunny-side-up eggs?
No, it's absolutely not. So, and again, you know, we think about the pans. The pans really aren't the issue here. So we do have some good science. I should say it's still emerging. But coming out of this lawsuit in West Virginia and Ohio, where there was this DuPont plant in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and over the years, that was the major, you know, the main place where they used it. They emitted lots and lots of this chemical into the air, into the Ohio River there. They dumped some directly into the ocean. They buried barrels of it on the banks of the Ohio River. So that is how it disseminated into the, mostly into the water there and then into the drinking water of the case involves these six water districts. And so what happened was this case, which has been unfurling for years, in 2005 it settled. And part of the settlement was that they're going to use this money to fund science to look at this particular population in West Virginia and Ohio. And what they found was, getting there, they found that it was linked to six diseases. And testicular cancer, kidney cancer, preeclampsia, a number of others.
Colitis, ulcerative colitis.
Yes, thyroid disease. And so the legal significance of this for these cases coming up, and there are actually 3,500 that will start in September, is that the people in the class who have these diseases are able to sue DuPont. And in these particular, because of the way the agreement was written, DuPont is not allowed to contest causality. So these are going to be really interesting cases.
Causality is assumed.
Right. They can't contest the connection. It's because that was the agreement. They approved these scientists that, you know, they were like, yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh. If anything's in it, we'll pay. And so here now, we'll see what happens. And they've also been filtering the water of these folks.
So it's primarily been a workplace issue, an occupational hazard for people who worked with manufacturing C8, and mm-hmm. an industrial pollution issue for people who live near the plants in those watershed areas.
Right. But we now know there have been a number of recent developments. One, the testing that, you know, shows it's in the blood of everybody, right? Or virtually everyone, and not just in our country, and also in wildlife. I mean, they've done extensive research on dolphins, eagles, bears. It's in lots of animals as well. But now we know also that it's in water, and not just the water by these plants. But the EPA began recently having testing water systems that serve more than 10,000 people for this chemical. And they found it in a water system serving 6.5 million Americans. So you know, these folks aren't the middle of a suit, and there's no talk really at this point of how they might get any recourse.
And you write, DuPont scientists had studied the chemical for decades and through their own research knew about some of the dangers that it posed already. So in some ways, C8 is the tobacco of the chemical industry, a substance whose health effects were the subject of a decades-long cover-up.
Yeah, I think that's true. And some people think legally it's more like asbestos. But in any case, it's it was the subject.
What's the distinction there between asbestos and
tobacco?
You know,
I think it has to do with how they're going to litigate it, you know. But I think the point of the cover-up is important. They did know a lot. And this whole situation really speaks to how we regulate, or rather don't regulate, chemicals. And so C8 is an unregulated contaminant. And so now we have this EPA testing that's showing it in, you know, as I mentioned, the water supply. And yet we don't have any law or any ruling from the EPA that says this is a safe level. So it kind of puts everybody in this odd situation. You know, we know it's in our water. What does this mean? And there was a study that came out actually yesterday when my final piece came out that came up with a safe level. What they think is a safe level is far below the level that the EPA is testing for.
And so there's a lesson here about how difficult it is to hold corporations responsible for the effects of their products, even when they're known.
Yeah, I think there really is. I mean, so I ended up talking to so many scientists who've been working on this, and lawyers and activists, and what you find kind of across the board is that when you're dealing with a huge corporation like DuPont that makes $95 million in sales a day, on every level everybody's outgunned, you know. So they have many scientists working on this. They have many lawyers working on this. And the last piece, which went up today, really kind of unpacks what the corporate response to the threat of regulation and how that looked. And it was really eye-opening for me, actually, to read about it all, mostly in depositions, but to see, you know, they have incredible power. They can get, you know, important people in the EPA on the phone in a second, you know, and they did. They can get, they have meetings at the White House, and they did. They have the muscle. And then, you know, on the other hand, I'm talking to the people in West Virginia who work there and who were poisoned, and they're not getting meetings at the White House, you know, and neither are the bottlenose dolphins or whatever. You really see the power imbalance, mm-hmm. and how that plays
the,
out
the
with
access
something like
imbalance.
Yeah, it's profound.
Sharon Lerner from the investigative news organization The Intercept. And is there a New Jersey and Chris Christie angle to this?
Yeah, so New Jersey, this may surprise some people in New Jersey, but it actually has a really effective water quality control system in place. And for 30 years, they've had this thing called the Drinking Water Quality Institute, which is this group of scientists and water experts that met regularly to investigate, to set safe levels of contaminants.
Because toxic pollution in New Jersey, contaminating water, was such a big thing in the 80s that state became very serious about it.
Right, exactly. And they realized that they had to, because they're so densely populated and because there are so many contaminants there, they're getting a pretty big load and they need to take it seriously, and they have. And it's been really impressive, the work that the Drinking Water Quality Institute did over the years.
But
there sure is. They started looking at PFOA or C8 in 2006, 2007, and they started diligently doing their work, and they came up with what they were going to set as or propose as a level, which was 0.04 parts per billion, which would have been the most stringent water level anywhere. The feds hadn't set one, but other states. And so they were going about their business and holding their meetings. And, you know, I talked to some folks on the Drinking Water Quality Institute who told me that all of a sudden, you know, their minutes are public. So when they mentioned that they were talking about this chemical, all of a sudden lawyers from DuPont started showing up at their meetings. And they were actually invited to a private presentation from a DuPont consultant who, you know, who explained why their contaminant level was way too low, and there was a lot of pressure. There were letters to the commissioner from DuPont. There was a lot of pressure put on it. And so anyway, they kept moving forward despite all this. And after they didn't actually get through to their final proposal, but it was, you know, when they sort of inched ahead and said, we are going with 0.04, in September of 2010, that was their last meeting. And so this is a group that had met about 50 times in the 5 years prior, and then they didn't meet again for almost 4 years after that. And what happened was that the regulation that they had proposed, 0.04, was never enacted. And in fact, a whole bunch of chemicals proposals that they had were never enacted. And they officially sunset, which means that now the Drinking Water Quality Institute, which was recently put back together, has many years of work before it can get all these things up and running again.
Well, we will leave it there for today with Sharon Lerner. Her really great reporting on Teflon and C8 and these lawsuits that are going forward now and the history from way back before are fascinating on their side, along with the Nation the Nation Institute's investigative fund. Sharon Lerner, freelance journalist who covers health and the environment. Read this on The Intercept's website. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will use the incident of the New York Jets quarterback being punched in the jaw to talk about the unique culture of the sports locker room. Stay with us.